Grand Canyon Podcast, episode 792. Funnily enough, that reminds me, isn't that a call back or whatever to Mrs. Doubtfire? That's why we do that.
Hello! Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I so just she like comes, she, Robin Williams, I guess it's she, when she Mrs. Doubtfire, comes out with the stuff on her, the pie on her face.
Oh, yeah. I've never actually seen that. I just, you feel like you have, because like the clips are just sort of ubiquitous, but I don't think I ever watched that film. But
it's great.
I was watching the Robin Williams documentary. It's on HBO. It's really good, but also strange guy.
Yeah, very quirky
character.
Sometimes when I see him do stand up, or when I've seen clips from him being on like talk shows and stuff, it's hard to even follow what he's saying. It's completely. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in his own world doing his own comedy for him, and maybe people will get it and maybe they won't.
I noticed it too, like with him and even my favorite, Don Rickles, that sort of like rapid fire thing that they do where they never stop. They just go from one thing to the next. A lot of it isn't even funny. It's just that when the whole thing put together is so remarkable and like a whirlwind that it becomes funny, but each individual joke is sort of like, that wasn't that funny, but what,
right.
The chaos of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anyway, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm driving again. I'm feeling like a regular person. I'm outside, I'm like looking around like, oh my God, it's so beautiful out here. Has it always been this lovely? Yes, probably. Just me not being outside for a while. So yeah, I'm like LIVIN apostrophe. I've been hitting up all of the, you know, for my birthday, Eli got me this pass, this thing called City Pass that gives you access to different tourist spots in the city. And, you know, you buy the pass and then you like get access to whatever five attractions you want on the list. But he did not realize that you have to use the pass in 7 days. So now this was like going to be something for me to have and then like go check out the botanical gardens when I felt like it or whatever. But now it's like, you need to go see all of the attractions in all of Colorado in the next 7 days.
That must be for tourists. Like,
it 100% is for tourists. Yes, that is exactly what it's there for. Not for residents, which we learned the hard way maybe. But I got to go to the aquarium, which was really fun. And then one of the things on the list that I've really wanted to go to was the Children's Museum. Here's the problem. You have to have a child with you to go.
No.
Yeah, it says that on rule. So I will not be going to the Children's Museum because, unless I borrow a child.
I don't think that's good. I mean, I get that. What is this? Some sort of predator protection or something? But like, I mean, just
it says children can't go without adults and adults.
Accompanying children. That's kind of like their thing. So I don't think you're eliminating the problem by keeping out people who are barren or whatever.
Right. Like, what the hell? Like, I need to, like, you know how you can, like, rent a dog to walk around the park in some cities? I need to, like, rent a child to go with me to the Children's Museum.
I can't believe that. Wow. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I am going to.
Does that mean nothing to
them? I know. That's what I was like. I dress like a 5-year-old. What? Come on.
Right.
Make an exception. So I'm going to go to those places. We're going to have a very busy Saturday, I think, this weekend, or I'm going to hit up a bunch of those, go to the Botanical Garden, see if they'll let me go again to the aquarium, because, you know, who knows? Why not? I loved it. I loved going to the aquarium.
Repeat.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We'll see. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to, just exploring Denver. Rapid fire.
Staycation.
Destinations. How about you? What's new in the old Pittsburgh world?
Nothing, man. I'm like real low key over here.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, just working and being. I mean, it's always this time of year where you're just like, okay, spring, we're ready.
I'm ready. I'm super ready. And then, you know, other places, maybe like California, places where it's sunny, they already are into spring, and then Target's already put out all of their spring, you know, collection. So I'm sitting there like, come on, come on. Spring, when can collection. I get outside to plant? I need to put some things in the dirt.
I think, because isn't it like right after Valentine's, then it's like all the Easter.
Oh yeah.
Shenanigans. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is just, we're in a holding pattern until the
holding pattern.
The ice melts.
Yeah.
And then we can,
and then by
emerge.
Spring, I will also be emerging in Pittsburgh along with flowers.
You sure will.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so excited.
It's going to be funny. Yeah, that'll be good. It's funny when you were saying like you went outside and you felt like, wow, it's so beautiful. That is what the prisoners say when I talk to them on the phone. Oh. Like if they have to go to like special, like medical testing or something, they get to, you know, go in a van and they just can't
leave
believe
the facility.
It's so great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've been like a
it
prisoner.
Really,
go ahead.
I felt like I was just thinking, you know, in looking at, you know, when I'm going through the aquarium, the Denver Aquarium has two tigers that were born in captivity. They're not tigers that could be out in the wild. They, you know, live in that.
They really want to make sure you know.
Yeah. Well, and I looked, you know, and I was like, oh, where were they born? What, you know, because you just kind of feel bad that they're just back and forth in this little enclosure their whole life. And I just couldn't help but think, like, as somebody who spent 4 weeks in one room, you know, in my house, staring at the same wall, that I bet there's a little bit of those tigers that just would love to get out and roam. I mean,
well, that's for sure. Because I know they always say that about the captivity thing, as if then you'll feel like, oh, okay, well, they probably don't care about the outdoors. But, you know, they do have instincts.
Right. Still. Yeah. And there were otters there, which were so cute. And the otters were doing the same loop in the tank.
Yeah, I don't love that.
And I did not like it. It made me feel a little uncomfortable. It was like, you know, the some people around were like, oh, look at him play. And I was like, that looks like pacing. That looks like, you know,
he
just swims over here, pushes off the wall, swims down there, pushes off the wall. Like, it's very repetitive. And it feels like that otter should have more space to play. But, you know, I get it. I, you know, there was another tank where I read information about, I think it was called a split fin fish, and all of they're extinct in the wild. And the only places they have them are in captivity. And it's a species they're trying to revive. And so to see that, you know, it's like, wow, this is, these are here and they don't exist anymore out in nature. So that's important. Like with fish, maybe you can like repopulate the species and then release them into the wild. But
let's hope so. 'Cause we did a good job of wrecking everything.
We sure did.
It's always weird when they think something's gone extinct. I was reading about this bird that they haven't seen.
I saw that. Yes.
2 decades. They're a real pretty thing. Now they have a bunch of them. They're psyched out of their mind, those bird people.
They were so... Woo! That video of them getting excited about seeing it was so fun to watch. Like, people who are really into whatever they research, I mean, like, that joy and that enthusiasm over a big find like that. Oh,
yeah.
Could you imagine?
No, I don't care about anything that much.
Right.
I'm always like, wow, they are passionate about
they
these
are.
Birds. God bless them. I'll tell you what else. God bless the good people at Rocket Money. I had an awesome thing that happened last week where I didn't even know this was going on, but evidently I had agreed like months ago that whenever it was the promotional period of my SiriusXM, whenever that was like about to be over, Rocket Money was going to swoop in and be like, hey, she's going to cancel unless you keep giving her this special deal. And so they did it, and they did it successfully, and they saved me $270.
Whoa!
I was so excited.
That's excellent savings.
It is.
Man.
I was just
love that.
this was all happening like behind the curtain. I didn't even know they were working hard for me, but they were.
It's the best.
Rocket Money is the best. I use it every day. It tracks my spending. Like I said, it cancels subscriptions that you aren't using if you want them to. It'll negotiate the bills like they did for me with that one. And it just keeps me in the know. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. That's rocketmoney.com/braincandy, rocketmoney.com/braincandy.
Yes, love that.
What a fun email to get that day. Anyway, whenever you said that.
Oh, the email saying you got all the money in savings. Got it. Yes. I was like, wait, what about like, zoos? Right.
No. Yeah. Whenever you were talking earlier about house arrest or, well, your
my version of it.
House arrest.
Yeah.
I've been watching. Did you tell me that you watched the McMillions docuseries about the McDonald's Monopoly scam? This is not a new documentary, but.
No, I think I did watch it. Yeah, I did. A long time ago, though.
Are you not sure if you did?
Yeah, no, I did. And.
Because it was 6 episodes. It was not. It was a real commitment.
Yeah.
Do you think you watched the whole thing?
I don't know if I watched the whole thing. Give me the updates. Give me the.
Okay, well, I did.
Cliff notes.
I did at the end when a couple of the people that were involved in that Monopoly money scam or McDonald's Monopoly scam ended up with house arrest. And I was like, that is the ticket. If you're ever going to go down for anything, I would love that. Cause you can like go outside. It's not like,
I feel like there's a joke in there about the Monopoly, like being on house arrest and like the fact that you buy houses in Monopoly, there's something there with, it'll take me some time to think of it, but I'll be driving home today and I'll be like, ah, here's the joke.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just, okay, so the story goes, and I know we've talked about it on the show before because I remember years ago reading about it in the New Yorker about how they pulled off this scam. But the gist is, everyone's played that darn Monopoly game. It's so fun. You pull off the little stickers on your French fries and stuff, and you try to get all the pieces to your Monopoly. And of course, there's certain pieces that are super rare, and then there's also like instant win tickets. Anywho,
instant French fries, love those.
Yeah, I mean, I would get psyched just for a cheeseburger, for real.
Yeah, for real.
But this guy worked for like the security company that made sure that the games and contests were on the up and up, and man, he really did an incredible job stealing those pieces. He stole like the high value, you know, like you're a millionaire instant win pieces. And then evil genius. He would like, I would come to you. Let's say I'm the one that I stole the piece. And I'd say, hey, Sarah, I'll give you this $1 million prize. Just have to split it with me. Because if I say I found it, they're going to know because I work for the security company. That's not going to work. Right. And then you'd be like, okay, that sounds great. And then you pay me for the ticket and you think you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the problem is the way that McDonald's had it set up is that these people would get like 50 grand a year for 20 years. And so like everyone thinks that they're a millionaire, but like you're not really. And you got to pay taxes, and now you got to pay this bozo that's making a killing.
Yeah, we've always said take the lump sum.
Yeah, they didn't offer it. Or, yeah, take the lump sum if you ever get the chance. But I'm just saying that, like, these poor
souls. So these guys had to pay out this guy who gave them the piece every month. Or every year.
I think the arrangement was they paid him like, let's say 50 grand up front. So a lot of them were like remortgaging their houses and stuff to get the ticket.
Yeah.
And then they would have to split every year, like the 50 grand. Anywho, this guy made like 24 million bucks and all he got was, And all he got was 3 years. And I'm saying it's totally worth it.
Whoa. 3 years, 24 million, and you get to keep your money?
Well, Yeah, because his restitution, like that he has to pay each month, is like $270.
Oh my God.
I'm perfect crime, if you ask me. That nobody does got sound murdered.
Like the perfect crime. And then there's something that I just feel less bad when the person getting ripped off is a company that's been collecting for years and been ripping people off.
Like, yeah, I've really paid into that.
You ain't hurting for money, Mickey D's. You know?
Yeah, they really didn't suffer because people didn't know the scam was happening. So any kind of incentive there was to buy food was still there. You know,
do you
so
think
really
we would find out about that faster these days? Like that this happened a while ago before.
That's right.
Social media and before.
For real.
Yeah. Everybody had like a megaphone.
Yeah.
I wonder if they
do
could
still
pull
have
that
the
off
Monopoly
now.
Game, and they say that they have much better protocols in place for the piece distribution.
Yeah, but they're checking the bank accounts of everybody working on the inside because
that's the thing. Like, I don't know how they didn't pick up on this sooner because there were a lot of people that won in Jacksonville, Florida, is what I'm saying.
Okay, see, that I would have been like,
red flag.
Red flag. Right.
Yeah. The real victims were, well, Ronald and and truly like the people that were the quote unquote winners because they had already like paid off the guy and then really didn't get any money.
Yeah.
So did they keep
knowing that it was rigged? Did the people who won get to keep that prize money or was that null and void because of how they acquired it?
They really didn't get that much because it was only 50. That's a, for $1 million prize, it was only 50 grand a year. And so let's say they were caught 3 years later. And so like they all just are cutting those little bitty restitution checks and, you know,
and paying
whatever,
half of it over.
Did you ever play McDonald's Monopoly? Did you have the board and the stickers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even eat at McDonald's that much, but just the idea of collecting something and that
was
whole...
very
then
satisfying.
The grocery store did it too. The grocery store had... It was like a McDonald's... not McDonald's, but a Monopoly thing like that that the grocery store did. I loved that shit.
It's so fun. Well,
it really is.
I keep laughing about how you say like... Is that right? That's why you were like sweating when you thought you were about to win $1,000 with the scratchers.
That's what I'm saying, man. I can't, I'm not good at that. It's too, I need to win more.
Do you think you're lucky or unlucky?
I think I'm lucky because I think I'm lucky, you know, like I'm lucky, but I think I'm lucky. So that makes it so that I focus on the times when I win rather than the times that I lose. But if I really added it all up, I've lost so much more than I've won in, you know, whatever I'm entering. I hate going to Vegas. I was driving through there on my way to Denver and had to stop for a night. And my mom was like, stop in Vegas. I'll give you $60. Put $60 on this at roulette. I have never experienced money come and go so quickly. I was so upset. I was like, what the fuck? I could have taken that $60, been halfway to a fabulous massage at this hotel, and instead I lost it all in maybe 10 seconds. I didn't even know what was happening before they just swept it all away from me, like with that little
Man,
stick they use, where they're
come,
like,
easy,
yoink,
go.
Easy come,
stick.
Easy go. It was actually
yeah,
like,
what is that stick called?
I don't know.
The
There's probably a name
like,
for
hook.
It though.
Hook sweeper.
It should be called like feel bad stick because no doesn't bring happy feelings. So just like, oh.
When you and I were going to Vegas in like 2009, I remember your mom did the same thing. She was like, here's what you do. And she was teaching us about like hot tables.
Right. Yeah.
Tables
I found
hot.
A cool one. I cool every table down. I am the cooler. I know this. I cannot play those games. So I'll stick to Monopoly and my instant win French fries. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good enough. Well, I'll tell you what feels like an instant win, and that is every time I put on my spectacles that I got from Pear Eyewear because, well, I can see, which is a real nice change yeah. of pace. And they're so darn cute.
Because so
you
cute
can do
you.
The old virtual try-on and yep. see what's flattering. What and kind of shape of you, your foot? What's your shape of your face? What do people tell you?
I would say it's like a heart shape is what I get sometimes because I got kind of a pointier chin. But yeah, maybe an oval face or heart-shaped face. But I like a cat-eye glasses.
Yeah, you can pull those off.
Yeah,
not me.
Super cute.
They'd be like, Suze, take those off. But that's the thing. You can try them on and see what suits you. And then you can get the toppers that are more... you can, there's tons of colors and designs
tons.
And that way you can have classic and whimsical.
It's super so fun. Easy Even if you want just... sunglasses, you just boop, pop them right on. They're magnetic, super easy. You don't have to replace the whole pair of glasses. You can just go straight from fun, whimsical pair to your date night pair to your sunglasses for the next day.
Sarah, you are so right about that. You said it. I couldn't have said it better. Visualize a fantastic new year with Pear Eyewear. Go to PearEyewear.com and use code CANDY for 15% off your first pair and support the show by mentioning that Brain Candy Podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pear, P-A-I-R, Eyewear.com, code CANDY. I always wondered if like that face shape thing, if it's just like if you have a widow's peak, then you're
yeah,
hurt. Is
probably.
It?
Probably. Maybe. I don't
okay.
know.
I don't know either. We're making stuff
a little
up.
Bit of that.
All right. Well, anyway, McMillions was great, but if I had known going into it that it was going to be 6 long hours.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes for McDonald's.
For a Monopoly game.
Yeah.
I was just like, it seems
That's like how long the actual game of Monopoly takes.
Yeah, and that's what prevents me from playing it a lot of the time.
Oh, I hate that game. I hate the game of Monopoly. I've never played that game and been like, wow, that was a really fun experience.
That was really fun. That's
yeah.
so true.
Oh, and I it's always men who like to play, and they're
yeah,
always
why?
Really good at it's something about conquering and getting and collecting property something. And then I am too big of a people pleaser to play mm-hmm. a game where you have to do negotiating and trading. And you know, when people are like, I'll give you this for that, like they do deal and people are really
do
good
they?
At making it sound. Yeah. I've played Monopoly where you can like mortgage your homes and get, you know, I always get screwed or so, you know, you want to like buy this property from somebody and I get screwed because I'm like, yeah,
wow.
sure, I'll do that. And then next thing you know, they're winning and I'm losing. So
I feel like that's the only competition that you're not interested in.
Yeah, Monopoly. You're probably right. I fucking hate that game.
And like a step above that is Risk. You know that game?
Yeah,
game
I've never, believe
domination.
It or not, I've never played Risk.
No, because you have a vagina. I swear no
right.
woman has ever played this game.
I do play Catan. I love that. And that's kind of about settling and trading and all that. And I fucking love that game.
Yeah, but that's like universally loved. I don't think there's anybody
yeah,
that
I think so
could
too.
Object to it.
So fun. Catan.
All right, moving on. I was reading about this guy. He's a friar, like, you know, Franciscan.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is the Vatican's AI guy.
What?
And it's a hoot because, like, he's a friar.
Right.
And also has a PhD in like, I don't know what the actual thing is, but he is focused on like bioethics and just the ethics of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And he's like work. He does like volunteering for like Microsoft and stuff. But
that's so funny.
Yeah. And I think
how does that intersect with
idea.
Religion and what is this
he's
take on that?
He's very concerned.
Yeah, I would
he's
be too.
He's like really worried and he is trying to get the point across that we need a global agreement. Otherwise, I think that I have a quote and it sounded really bleak. Let me find
Ooh.
It. No, I don't think I saved it, but it was essentially like, if we don't all get our hands around this, mm-hmm. it's going to be societal collapse. That was the phrase he used.
Oh, that's
like, well,
not
that
good.
That sounds bad. Yeah.
That's bad, bad.
Right.
Yeah. It's very scary. I don't think there's probably a more intense word for it that I can't think of right now. Daunting, maybe. I don't know. But the people who are very knowledgeable about AI are very scared of how it will go when.
Yeah. It's obvious. This is a recipe for disaster. We all know it. But then they give you like a headset to wear, and then people put on those damn headsets and they forget all about it. They're just like, this is cool.
Right.
Wake up, man.
Yeah.
But because it just feels like we're so easily distracted by the bells and whistles that, you know, we're forgetting the more important idea. But anyway, he's an ethics professor, an ordained priest, a self-proclaimed geek, and he's just like real nice, and he wears his little robe, and then he has like jeans underneath. He seems like a really nice person, and I hope he's effective because nobody's
what
doing
kind of things
anything.
Is he trying to do, or what changes is he? Is it like awareness, or like,
well, he wants global
to
governance. He wants kind of like the UN or something, but for specifically about technology and that what we'll all agree is acceptable and unacceptable. And I don't know. It just feels like we're all going to look back and be like, we really should have listened to that friar.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard when things that look like benefits to our life can also at the same time bring about these unintended consequences.
He's anticipating entire industries, not just being automated, but like one day, just sort of like, that's it. And all these people will be reduced to like menial tasks and labor. And so he's anticipating extreme uneven wealth distribution.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is not going to work.
Oof.
Like if it everyone is, can't eat.
Right. I saw something that said it makes no sense that now we've developed AI technology to make our art, and the people are the ones killing themselves in the factories.
Mm. Yeah.
And like Amazon warehouses.
That's so true.
And it feels kind of backwards. Shouldn't we be freeing up time? Shouldn't we be using the robots and technology to be doing those kind of tasks and allow for human creativity to flourish instead of the opposite?
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it does. But we're not doing that.
By the way, I meant to start the show by saying that people are mad at us.
Oh, okay. Can't wait for this. What are we mad about now?
There's
what
like three different things. Okay, so I knew that the pet conversation was going to create a real stir. Because, you know, if you're saying like pets aren't people, like even though that's to me seems self-apparent, that for, you know, there's people who are like, some people don't have any family or whatever, and they're lonely and isolated and they rely on these animals. And I'm like, I totally get it. I'm kind of taking it a step further by saying, like, I suspect that the reason so many people are so attached to their animals is because of the isolation and a need for companionship, and that we have failed as a society, that we have basically eliminated the places where people would normally find that community. And so they're basically reduced to having to rely on these.
Yes. And wouldn't you say in so many of the other, I don't know, areas of our life or so many other groups we belong to, even just being a person on social media, there's so much judgment and criticism and commentary on and policing of actions, behaviors, words, whatever.
Yeah.
That we are all thirsty for a break from that. And animals provide this judgment-free relationship where we can really be totally ourselves and not feel judged and not feel like we have to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I think if the more comfortable we feel in our relationships where we can be authentic and be and feel like we aren't being judged and we're just accepted, I think, you know, nurturing those kind of relationships might create more of a balance between that people pet.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Then they're mad at my commentary about the nap ministry.
The what?
Yeah, when you brought up that lady that's like anti-work or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I've seen this movement. There's a person on social called the nap ministry. Mm-hmm. And, some people thought that I was against naps, which I'm not.
You are so pro nap.
No, I never nap. I've never napped in my life, but like, I'm supportive if people want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Like, I've never heard you say you're so lazy for taking a nap or never been like, oh, this person's lazy for napping.
Right. It's not really about the naps. Her mission is defined as like rest is resistance. And so she's saying that she's fighting white supremacy with rest, and she's calling it the nap ministry. Mm-hmm. And I said, this person said, well, you need to like do research and know what you're criticizing. I'm like, well, I actually did, because I followed her for a long time. I'm just unpersuaded by her argument that like rest by itself is
right,
or even just by like itself. The focal point. I don't think she would say by itself, but that is mm-hmm. like the focus. Rest is resistance. I'm not so sure about that. I'm open to it. I just have been unpersuaded so far.
Right. It needs to be maybe like rest in order to fill up your tank so that you can have the energy to take action against those things.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of implied. Like, we already, like, Martin Luther King probably rested too, but he wasn't saying that was the whole sort of focus. Right.
Fight them with rest.
It's just implied. Yeah, you got to sit down sometimes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Then the third thing is, some people really agreed with Wil Wheaton and were very offended that Larry David would assault Elmo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I keep going back to this being an adult show, this where it happened. If he assaulted Elmo on Sesame Street, then that would be a problem.
Yeah, but the context does matter.
It does. And this is like a, we gotta take a step back and
I could imagine if you watched it and thought, oh, that's a bit much, or like tone it down or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But to actually like write that diatribe that Will did and like mm-hmm. to personalize it and really feel that vehemence, I think maybe you got some things cooking that you might want to think about, because it really wasn't that serious.
Yeah, and I hope people, when they have these comments, don't hear us saying, oh yeah, I'd totally go out there and strangle Elmo myself. Like, that's kind of not what we're saying. Like, let's like recognize what we're doing. Just trying to like have a conversation about like the gray area or the middle ground, or how we kind of take these words and then people get, I don't know, they like dig their heels in and say, this is what you meant. And we gotta like,
I guess it kind of feels like what tends to happen is things that are accessible, things like Elmo and Good Morning mm-hmm. America and stuff like that, people can really develop these intense opinions about it, and then they feel comfortable sharing them because they understand the parameters. But then when you have something like AI or climate change, where it requires a little bit more literacy, and depth of understanding, they will just like ignore it and not get mad about it because they don't really know the particulars about it. So I'm saying like, maybe we could channel some of that Larry David angst towards things that are actually consequential.
Yeah. This is kind of what you and I feel often about, like, who we are and on television, things like that, where, you know, we say one thing and it's like, oh my gosh, that unforgivable. Meanwhile, there's, do you see the guy who got kicked off the show for, you know, punching the other guy in the face or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like maybe
focusing on the wrong things.
Yeah, it's misguided a little bit.
Yeah,
and anyway, that's just what you can.
But I'd like to officially make a statement that says I would not strangle Elmo.
The fact that you have to say that is funny.
Right. Do I need to say that? Does that,
you know? I think it's clear. I think we all feel comfortable knowing that. I also feel comfortable knowing that I have my daily vitamin ritual available for me to take because I love the habit. I love that I've stuck with it. And I love taking ritual products, the Hyacera.
I am noticing a big difference with that Hyacera.
I am too. I'm really impressed. And I, like I always say, I would be fine if it were a placebo, but they actually have clinical studies that show that it actually does reduce wrinkles and fine lines. So I love
science. I need all the help I can get with staying hydrated and keeping my skin just its healthiest up in this dry weather and during the winter. And Ritual Vitamin makes it so easy.
Well, now Sarah's menopausal, so like her crow's feet are going to be dying to creep out, and we're saying no.
Yep.
Hi, Sarah's you. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/braincandy. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/braincandy for 25% off.
Yes.
Whenever people do disagree with me and send messages, they're almost always very nice, and I'm always like, yeah, okay, I can see your point. Like, if they were sitting right here when we had this conversation, we would have, but it's just me and you, so.
Right. And this is what happens after almost 800 episodes, is now I'm like, yeah, I totally agree.
Do you think we agree more now? That's interesting. I wonder if that's true.
I think I've become more realistic or more pessimistic or something like that. That
you're just like a few years behind me.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, though, and I can always be, you know, persuaded or swayed. What can you be swayed? Is that a word?
No, but it should be.
No,
I like it.
Feels like I could be persuaded too. Yeah, my brain. Who knows what it just did right there? I was like,
open.
Yeah, I could be convinced. I can have my mind changed. But, you know, I also, I think people hear what we're not saying sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But hey, if you love your damn dog and you just want to like French them or like snuggle with them all the time and like tell them how cute they are, whatever.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
But don't forget about generally. People.
Yeah, don't forget about me.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Get to love us. Okay, this is my favorite story of the day because it kept getting crazier. This was in the news. You may have seen it, about a guy who had, he and his wife worked from home and he was able to overhear her work conversations. Like on Zoom. Uh-huh. And she worked for BP. Okay. And so he was privy to like some big business thing that was about to happen that's like just private within the company. And then he placed bets on the stock market. I say bets because that is what it is. I mean, that is legalized gambling.
Totally.
He was buying these stocks based on, it's insider trading. He was basing it on insider information. Okay. So that is fun and interesting enough on its own. But in this case, okay, so he makes almost $2 million.
What? Whoa, okay.
Because he was like, hey, he went all in, you know.
He went all in,
and
okay.
And then he sold, you know, so then he made all this money.
Yeah.
And then, big mistake, he confessed to his wife.
Uh-huh.
And then she told on him.
Holy shit, she whistle blew her own husband.
That's a very funny thing to say. Whistle blew her husband. Yeah, she whistle blew him. And then, okay, so then.
So the only time we're blowing your husband doesn't come with a big old smile.
Totally. So, okay, so they're like, what? He's in big trouble. And then they like looked at her texts and stuff, and they concluded that she knew nothing about this, that
right.
She truly was just like on her Zoom calls and he overheard yeah. and made these choices on his own, but they still fired her.
What? That? Oh,
right.
I'm
this
sorry.
Poor lady cannot catch a break.
She's trying to do the right thing. So, okay. Then what happens? So does he get his money? Does it, what
oh, wait,
happened then?
Then the last thing is they're investigating him. He's probably going to go to jail, but he definitely has to like pay everything back. But then she filed for divorce.
Well, good. I wonder if you are married to somebody and they are convicted of something where they then have to pay.
Mm.
Is it the couple or is
good
it
question.
The individual? Because if you divorce and it like happened while you're married.
That is a great question.
What the fuck happens with that?
Well.
Oh man, I would
if
be
he just
so
had to
pissed.
Give it back. Like, because I don't know if he spent any of it or whatever before this all oh shook God. Down. So maybe it was just sort of in investments or something, and then he just gave it back. But if it was like, what if he had bought a damn yacht or something?
Right, right. Well, she
and then
would
she's
start.
She's got to start working the pole or something to cover it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And don't you think you'd be a little suspicious, like, you know, just your normal life, and then all of a sudden your partner's got, like, so much more money in the bank account? Like,
oh, like if he hadn't confessed?
Yeah.
Right. I told Adam, I was like, listen, if you ever do something like this, please do not tell me. Don't confess. I will ask no questions. If there's suddenly a lot of money in my account, I'm just going to zip it.
Yeah. You're going to play like that Real Housewife who's like, I had no idea he was embezzling.
Is that sort of what she did, that Erica Jane lady?
Yes. She claims
really?
That she had no knowledge of any of the ways that her husband was scamming people out of money, like paying Peter to pay Paul or whatever the expression is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. That's it. Yeah. That is kind of what, and he wasn't giving people their, the settlements that like the money from big settlements and it was
bad. Do you
bad.
Think she did know?
Oh yeah. You're a freaking, if you aren't aware of the stuff that's happening in your own home, like, what the fuck kind of relationship do you have?
Uh-huh. Well, some couples do, like, separate bank accounts.
Yeah.
So like,
well, I have a separate bank account than Eli, but I would know if all
you'd
of a sudden.
If he bought a yacht.
Yeah. No, if he started buying new shoes. I'm like, oh, Mr. Fancy with his white tennis shoes.
I would love to interview the husband and ask, like, what made him confess? Like, did he think she was going to keep her lips shut? Do you
he
think?
He must have. But if he didn't confess to her, or I should say, if she didn't turn him in, mm-hmm. and they found out, big trouble. She's going down too. So
yeah,
it feels like
she did the right thing. It's
she
just
did the right thing. She did the only thing that you would be able to do in that situation. Like, he really fucked her. He put her in a really tough spot.
So
and
think
this is your husband?
Just not like, confessed. He should have just kept it to himself.
No, I mean, I think he shouldn't have done it to begin with. You know, that's what I'm going to go with. Because this, like, this says a lot about a person's morals and values, right?
That's for sure.
And the shitty thing about these situations is that sometimes it takes an opportunity to test our morals and values in order to see where they are, what they are. And I can imagine that there's a big part of, for this woman, there's a big part of her that felt like violated, that, you know, like she's there. He's eavesdropping on her conversations and then taking that information. And
well, she needs to get some headphones.
Yeah. What the heck?
Hello. I don't want to victim blame here, but I got to say this could have been avoided.
I wonder if this is something that there was a rise in with people working from home. And
yeah, they say that they anticipated that. More insider trading as a result.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause you're just in the know about things you would normally not be. I'll tell you what you should be in the know about. And that is Caraway cookware and bakeware.
I am so obsessed. I did not know I was going to love it as much as I do. That thing. I mean, everything slides around on there. It's magic. It's magical.
It's magic.
It cleans.
People probably think we're unhinged.
Easy. And you know who was a tough sell on it? Eli. Because he's all about, we have stainless steel, everything. And then we really needed a new pan. And I was like, Eli, we're getting this pan. I'm getting it. And we ordered it. And he was, yeah, I put my foot down. I just ordered it. Like, and then at first he like didn't use it and was using our old stainless steel ones. And then now it's the only pan that he uses. It doesn't even leave the counter. Like it's always
That's good
ready
that
to
you're
go.
Sharing that, because I didn't think about that, how some people are like loyalists to.
Oh, he's so loyal to it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like worked in restaurants. He like,
yeah.
You know,
so he always, thought like, this is just.
Yeah. What is this?
Stuff.
Is another one of
Cute.
Those like,
It just
yeah.
looks cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, now it's the only pan that we use for everything.
Okay. That's a good point, because these are non-toxic. They are non-stick.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that they just cook like the dickens. I mean, such perfect.
Yeah. Perfectly even heat. And if you are a stainless steel loyalist, they just came out with a line of stainless steel
items. That's right. Yeah,
and
that's
beautiful.
True. So there you go.
Yeah.
They are.
But I think the nonstick is great for eggs, for everything.
For the eggs.
Yes.
The frying
pan. No oil. Just slip and sliding around. Like,
and
then I feel like a real chef when I can flip it.
Yeah.
I love that.
That alone is worth it. Visit carawayhome.com/braincandy to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/braincandy or use code braincandy at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Yes.
Sarah.
Yes, Susie.
What I did learn though from McMillions is that white collar crime, kind of great.
Yeah. If you're gonna do one, do the white collar
crime. This insider trading thing, it's a slap on the wrist. I'd go to Camp Cupcake like Martha Stewart.
I know somebody who's like a friend of the family who went to jail for insider trading. Didn't affect their life at all. They went right back out like and went back into the business. It was almost like a given. Like if you're at a certain level in this
price,
they're like,
pay.
Oh, you're probably going to go to jail for insider trading at some point, and then you're going to get out, and then you're not going to do that again, or maybe you are and not get cut. I don't freaking know. But
if I end up going down like into organized crime or something, just know that this is like my origin story. This is the genesis of my life of crime. McMillions, because it seems like if you have, as they say, no priors,
right,
then they're just like, oh, they got caught up in a scheme.
Yeah.
And then slap on the wrist.
Let it also be known that, you should keep this from me because I will not be able to. I don't know. I'd probably be like the wife, but I'd be like, oh God, I'm going to end up going down with her. If I don't turn her in, this is going to be bad. This is going to be the end of everything.
Like, okay. But let me ask you this. Do you think that you would tell on me because it's the right thing to do or just because you don't want to go down with this ship?
I wouldn't want to go down with the ship, but a little bit of both. My fear of getting in trouble.
For real?
I mean, if you invite me on that yacht, maybe. I could. I'll just turn a blind eye and just be like, wow, this yacht is so nice.
How many podcasts do you have, Suze?
Right.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I won't include you in any of my criming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever turned anybody in for anything?
No, and I'm trying to think if I would.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have even, like, because there have been opportunities. I have seen people do things that were against the rules on challenges, and I always kept my mouth shut.
Oh, okay. So even on that level, you're just sort of,
A lot of people, like, buy weed, get, you know, drugs, do whatever on there.
I would turn someone in if there was a victim. Like if I, you know, if someone was getting hurt or harmed.
That's a good point.
Or even stolen from.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't if it were like insider training or something like that.
Yeah.
Because the whole system is rigged.
Right, right.
It's like you feel about McDonald's.
I wouldn't even know who to call for that. What am I going to do? Susie's inside for 1-800. Don't do that. I don't know. What am I going to call? Like, is it the same as the gambling? You have a gambling problem? Call this hotline. Like, I don't know what the fuck the number is for my friends embezzling.
You know, like, wasn't it like the Geological Society or something? Or what's that number you call, like, star 611 or something?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, 611. Like, don't dig here.
Don't dig here.
Don't dig. 411.
She's going to call them and be like, look, I know this isn't the right place to go to.
Can you just direct me to... Who
There's
handles
something fishy
your,
going on with Susie's finances.
White collar crime. Right.
Yeah, right. I think, no, just so you know that you call the FBI. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, that's that makes the sense. Point of contact. That makes sense.
The point.
Okay. So that book that I won't shut up about called Get the Picture, which is about the art world, which is so good. It's such a great book. Anyway, she was talking about colors and I wondered if you knew, I'm sure you'll be able to guess it. So that's why I wanted to ask you. Do you feel like you could guess the world's favorite color and it's unanimous?
Purple.
Oh my God. No.
Yeah.
But I wish it was.
Is that not it? Oh, that's it's the not. Color that children most often choose as their favorite. So I thought maybe it would be the universal one. Because they say it's a balance of hot and cold and that feels more bad. Like children... for some reason pick purple more frequently because there's that balance of, and it's like before things get gendered and it's like boys like blue and girls like pink kind of thing.
That's so interesting. I did say in the book that paintings that are blue and pink sell more.
Sell more. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they did say that. But the color that the earth, the globally that we love the most is not purple. Do you want
Green.
Another guess? I thought green. It's blue.
I would think green because of nature. Oh, blue. Okay. I was trying to think of like, what do we have like an abundance of? What like symbolizes life? There's maybe there's something about blue that's like the sky, the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's what the theory is you know, it's the things that sustain us, water, whatever.
That's why I picked green. I went with like the color of life. It's like more peaceful. But I can imagine blue.
What's your favorite color? You told me this recently.
It changes. Most of the time it's blue, but but sometimes green every now and then.
I'm going to do a poll.
I always play with blue when I play Catan because they only have red, orange, white, and blue in their regular pack, and then we got the expansion pack when my brother got a girlfriend because we needed to be able to play with five people. And then they introduced green, and I was like, fuck, I didn't know green was an option. That green is so cool. And now my boyfriend's or my boyfriend, my brother's girlfriend is officially like green, and I'm like, I like her color, but I can't change now.
Wow,
I can't
you guys
steal
have
her
like official colors.
You know, everybody plays with like the same color every time we play. And yeah,
it's a whole system.
Whole system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No wonder you don't like Monopoly. That would be too much for you people.
No, too much. Too much. I can't even decide who I'm going to be. The thimble, the top hat, the horse. All of them are so cute.
Well, the best one is the car.
What? Monopoly?
Yeah, don't you think it's like the... Like everyone
you think the
knows
best one is the car?
I thought everyone thought that.
I don't know. Isn't there a roller skate? I like that one.
Oh.
I
love
like there
that
might
one.
Be a roller skate. And I've always like, also
no,
liked
like
the
a boot
thimble.
Or something.
Yeah, a boot, something like that. There's a thimble that I think is kind of cute to play with.
Nobody wants the iron, I'll tell you that.
Nobody wants the iron.
Why do they even have that? What does that represent?
I don't know. It does feel like weird and gendered as well.
Even if it's not, we're mad about it.
Yeah, I am. Thimble, and what are you trying to say?
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah. Okay, right. Your home economic pieces.
Yeah. They call that class at Lincoln School, they call it Family and Consumer Science.
Oh.
They really jazzed it up.
Family and Consumer Science. What? Science? Come on.
I love it. It's such a great class. It's so important, but it is funny that they were like, home economics sounds... Although home economics sounds important, too. It's economics.
It does sound really important.
Yeah, you're so sensitive
maybe they think
about it.
I am. Well, yeah, because I can remember being in those classes and the boys being like, oh, this isn't for us. This is just, you know, it's like cooking and stuff like that. They like want
yeah.
into.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
So maybe the name home seems too like.
Ugh, right.
Uh-huh. You know.
Unimportant.
Yeah. Hate that.
Well, the reason that I brought up blue is just to say that I was reading in Popular Science about how blueberries aren't really blue.
What?
And how, like... I never know what you're going to say. Yeah, like...
What
they
are you saying?
Like,
they're deep indigo?
Just,
or saying, like,
thing,
when you bite
they
into
were
them?
Trying, it
what
sounded
are you
like
to say?
They were trying to be, like... The article felt like it was sort of like, what's real, man? Like, somebody smoked pot and then wrote this
right.
article.
Right.
But...
I'm like not
trying...
high enough for this conversation.
They were trying to say that like there is no blue pigment that makes up a blueberry. It's this weird phenomenon where light is reflected in this weird way that creates the illusion of blueness.
Okay. What about blue on animals? Is it the same?
It said that it is very rare for there to actually be blue pigment. There's only a few flowers that have it. I don't know about
it. Yeah.
Probably some birds and stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting. I just... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to say that it just feels weird that they're telling me it's very rare in nature.
Right.
But then that's our favorite color because of its
how
nature.
Often it... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's almost like the color itself doesn't exist, but our visualization of the color exists. Like the way we see that because of how the visual light spectrum works and what, and how reflection works and how all that, like what we're seeing with the sky and the water and.
But that's not true for all colors? Because I kind of am like, isn't that how color works? It's just sort of like goes into your
fucking A.
retina.
Well, how about this? I know this, that when you, there are a lot of flowers and a lot of pigments in nature, like when people are doing like natural dyes and they take a flower and they like grind it up or they take like mustard seed, whatever. And you can make those pigments. I have heard that blue is a pigment that you can't make like that.
Yeah,
that you can't like find something and like grind it up, and you could do that with red and yellow and all these other things, but you have to almost synthetically create it in a way, which is so interesting to think about. I should have paid more attention. I was just at the Denver Nature and Science Museum, and they had a whole exhibit on color, and they had different animals and different plants and whatever it is with different colors in each section. So you go into like the orange and it would have all these like orange birds and lizards and, you know, talk about orange appearing in nature. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I loved the whole idea, but I was turned off by the exhibit. Maybe you saw this on my post that I put up the other day, but they didn't mount any of the animals, and the birds were like carcasses of the bird just laid
out.
Like
it looked like they had just hit a window and then fell.
Yes. And just fell down. And I was asking, you know, I'm like, why did they do it like this? And he was saying, well, maybe because a lot of the colors on birds are underneath, and so it's harder to see them like that. Mm. But
they should put that. They should put a sign.
It was very disturbing to see the birds just, and they had lizards like that too. I'm like, what are we doing here with the, I'm not into this. Just right. Like dead animal, like roadkill. Like, yeah, like it just hit the window and was like bloop, and somebody just, and then they were so careful to like lay their little, what the hell do you call them? Their legs, bird legs?
Yeah.
Beak talons, legs. I guess. Like they would cross them like they were like Egyptian pharaohs or so, like a mummified.
Oh my God. That is,
They were all dead.
Yeah. It was silent.
Yes, they did care about them, but it was just kind of like a weird way to see animals displayed. And I was like, not for me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's distracting from the color idea. And my favorite part of the book so far was talking about a really cool thing that the brain does where the color that you're wearing appears different, of course, depending on how much light there is. So if you're in a really bright room, this looks like a white shirt. But if we were to go out into like the nighttime, it would actually appear purplish, like a violet, because of the different lighting at night. And that your brain, instead of thinking, oh, she's wearing a purple shirt now, it does a trick where it lies to you and it says, no, it's still white, even though the information reaching your eyeball is purple. And they call it color constancy. And it's like this trick that the brain does. And it's so cool.
That in a way it's giving you all of the information and like the context that the image is existing in. Like, yes, you're seeing this as this color, but it's also nighttime. So you're going to see that not as this, but through this filter of nighttime.
Yeah. And that your vision is more than just, I see this and that's what it is. Your brain is thinking, it's sort of like they called it like a kitchen in a restaurant where everyone's talking and yelling over each other. And like it's kind of chaotic. And then hopefully the dish goes out correct whenever it's,
Wow.
It's That's cool.
So
crazy.
It's so insane to think how much processing is done in such a split, like the shortest amount of time, you could barely even measure it. Our brain is seeing things in real time, but there's really a little bit of a delay because it has to take that information in and then make a decision.
Yeah. Good work, brains.
Yeah. Really good work. And don't you notice that if you, like I find this when I first wake up in the morning or if at the end of the day when I'm really tired, my eyes are tired, that your eyes will in a way start to play tricks on you. Like it's like those tools are tired at the end of the day and you almost have to like, wait, what is that I'm seeing? What am I looking at? And it's harder to trust your eyes after they're a little bit tired from maybe doing a lot of that work all day long.
Mm-hmm. That's your brain being like, night, night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time for bouncy boxes.
The other day I pulled up a Sudoku and I was just, it must've been like after we had recorded some podcasts or I had just done a bunch of work during the day and I looked at it and it was like the numbers were moving. I couldn't even, and I was doing the easy one and I was like, can't even, I have to put this down because normally it's taken me 4 minutes and I don't even think I've gotten one answer. And I'm like, my brain cannot, my eyes couldn't even focus on it. It's like so weird. It changes so much.
Yeah, your body's been busy. So it's probably like, what now, ladies? Yeah. Sudoku? Like,
you want us to do math? What are you doing? Watch Love is Blind and call it a day.
Yeah, man. Our brains are working hard. That's your my wonder for the day. That was it's
like
fun
that.
To learn about those processes. But anyway, we've said too much. I would recap, but really the point is that if I ever come into a lot of money, you will not hear
about
it.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah, and you keep yours shut.
Be like, wow, Susie's so generous. What are all these gifts?
But yeah, I'm like, wow, the whole Caraway pan collection. She must be doing well.
Right. Man, she loves this stuff. Yeah. All right, people, we covered a lot and we had fun. Thank you,
as always,
for using our codes. I am trying to make sure it's updated on our website. You can always look there if you can't remember it. And thanks for leaving a review, subscribing, all that jazz.
We love you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.